Pot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlick.
Adoption. Have you ever thought about it but have been fearful because you think, oh my goodness, how can I be a good parent? My childhood wasn't as good as I wish it had been. Adoption seems to be so expensive. And how do you get connected with the right agencies so that you can adopt? And what's the difference between being a foster parent and going that path and adopting children? Or can you do both? Well, my guest today is Marcy Bursack. Marcy is the executive director of ForgottenAdoptionOption.com. She has an amazing story of perseverance. Would you like to hear it? Please stay tuned. So, Marcy, welcome to Encounter.
Delighted to be here. Hi, everyone.
Marcy, how did you first start getting involved in thinking about the Forgotten Adoption Option? You must have a great story there that was special to you and changed your whole opinion about adoption.
Yeah, I definitely do. And I think I learned it was forgotten and then wanted to tell everyone. And what happened is in my early 20s, a church that I was at right out of college took a service, a mission trip over to Europe. And I was part of one of three groups that went to an orphanage. While there, I spent a lot of time with the older girls. And it took a week of time, and it was a very well thought through summer experience. There were churches going week by week all summer long. So it was a curriculum. So I was just part of the plan of how to pour into children for the summer. And what happened, Judy, is when I came back to the state, my mind kind of sobered into, wait, I'm back here now. I couldn't stop thinking about the girls I had just met. And I couldn't stop thinking about what I had just seen and how they had families that were alive. And in fact, they weren't in any sort of like harm's way in this orphanage. Their parents were living and couldn't afford food or shelter or clothing for them. And that's why they had been dropped off at the orphanage. And it just really shook me, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. And so it was at that point that I had decided, okay, I'm a little too close in age to adopt one of the teen girls that I had just met. But what I can do is adopt. When I get married and have children, that's going to be my plan A. And so that's kind of what started it all, Judy. And then when my husband and I had met and our relationship moved forward, we started talking about what having children would look like. And I had mentioned my experience. And Judy, I thought he'd be crazy. I thought I was crazy when I said, well, adoption's my plan A. A lot of times couples, someone will say that or think about it. And it's like, oh yeah, but after we have a few biological children. And I was very surprised when his response to me was, well, me too.
Oh, wow.
I had to ask him, what do you mean, me too? And my husband's grandfather had immigrated to the United States from Serbia in the early 1920s. And when his grandfather, Sam, was about 7 years old, Sam's parents had died of pneumonia. And this is a very different time as a healthcare system. So it left Sam and two older siblings orphaned, literally orphaned, no one to care for them. At the time, the way we cared for immigrant children was very different. And so while his two older siblings had gotten adopted, Grandpa Sam never did. He grew up in the back of grocery stores, begged for food, kind of lived a life of survival. And so my husband had said, I always wondered what would have happened if Sam would have been in a family growing up instead of on the streets. And so that's how we discovered the Forgotten Adoption Option, which is really adopting children who are available for adoption through the foster care system. We really wanted to adopt older kids. I had seen and spent time with teenagers. Sam was seven, so we knew we wanted a non-infant. And my husband's requirement was, I really want to do this in honor of my grandpa, so I want it to be someone from our own country. So that's how we discovered that there was a whole different path, that you don't need to be a foster parent to adopt through foster care. There's this whole other set of children that are just waiting for a forever family.
Talk about some of the statistics of children who are waiting for a forever family.
Yeah, so in the United States, there's over 100,000 children who are waiting in the foster care system for a forever family. So they're kind of lingering until they are kind of kicked out of the system around age 18. Many of them are over the age of 8. A number of them are like my children. They're in a sibling group wanting to be adopted together. And so there is a great need, great opportunity. And I think one of the things that often gets overlooked is just how financially feasible adopting through the foster care system is compared to adopting an infant domestically or children internationally. When you adopt through the foster care system, your out-of-pocket expenses can be anywhere from $0 per child to $5,000 per child, and they all qualify for this federal adoption tax credit. So I often say,
that's amazing,
to those in coaching and on my podcast, that this really is not a financial question to adopt through foster care. It's really a question that you ask your heart of, can you walk through life with children who have maybe seen things, been through things that need healing from abuse, neglect, or trauma?
Executive Director of the Forgotten Adoption Option is my guest, Marcy Bursek. Marcy, so inexpensively you can adopt children. This might be new to a lot of people listening. Can you talk about that path a little bit? How can people get involved in that? If they really feel on their heart that God wants to provide them with some special treasures in their family who really need good parents.
Yeah, and I think the very first question to ask yourself is, like, why am I doing this, right? And what am I afraid of? Oftentimes that might be, you know, if you're coming from a path of infertility, there might be some loss there that you're grieving still, and you need to get to a healthy place with. I have not had that particular journey myself. I've coached a number of families who have. I have friends walk through that you really have to let go of that dream and the reality, because when you're adopting children through foster care, you're not trying to take a child and shape them into the kind of child you're wanting them to be. You're really guiding and being supportive, really a mentor that's there to help them experience a family and experience stability. You also, to be successful, to, you know, okay, Marcy, I'm going to go do this. I feel really called to do this and so grateful to learn of this opportunity. One of the biggest skills you're going to need in this space is grit. And I don't say that lightly. I say that because when you're dealing with the child welfare system, you're dealing with a lot of slow process and just people-driven things that aren't efficient. And so being able to hang in there, remake phone calls more than once, follow up to emails more than once, and really doing so with a lot of grace and kindness, because you will likely have to, if you find the agency near you and say, okay, I want to do this, I'm going to contact them right now because I want to go through this process so I'm eligible to adopt children through the foster care system, you might have to email them multiple times or call them multiple times, or even along the way as you're turning in your paperwork and following the process, you want to make sure you're making copies of everything you're turning in, because it's not uncommon for things to get lost. So you really being proactive and having documentation all along the way and being able to show a lot of grace as things fall through the crack is a really, really important part of adopting to the foster care system.
So how long did it take to adopt a child normally?
Okay, so this is what earlier, Judy, you had mentioned, you know, people think that's a lot, and it's a lot of emotional, I'm going to say toll. It takes a lot on your emotions because things don't feel like they happen fast enough. You might even go online right now and look at websites that have online profiles, say things like the Heart Gallery of America. You can go and look at some of the children who are eligible to be adopted through the foster care system. And you might think, well, that's the sibling group or that's the child. And then as you go through the process, you might learn that particular sibling group already has someone who's pursuing them, or that their things have changed, there's different requirements. And so you can feel let down a lot in this journey. And I say that because going at it, being very open-minded about, like, I'm feeling called to this and I'm open. I'm so open to whatever that means, because it can take time. So typically the data shows us that the process itself can take between 6 and 18 months. So that's whatever state you're in has particular training you'll have to go through before you can ever be eligible, like interview for children and sibling groups. In my particular scenario, just to give a reality check to listeners, when my children moved in, we were told within about 4 months, that's like the number after three, so 1, 2, 3, 4, that our children would be legally in a spot that we could start planning towards an adoption hearing, meaning going to court to finalize the adoption. And the rule in this space is a child has to live with you for 6 months before you can go to court and finalize the adoption. That same even for infant adoption. If somebody is a adoptive parent and is with a newborn, as they're brought into this world, they still have to wait 6 months to go make that legally an adoption. Mm-hmm. And in my situation, at the 9 month mark, we were nowhere near anywhere close to knowing what can happen next. And so my particular journey, my kids lived with me for 18 months and I had started the process 6 months before that. So we're at 24 months. So almost 2 years is really how long my journey took from, okay, I'm going to go take classes and get certified, interview for siblingers. My husband and I intentionally wanted to adopt two siblings together, and then to get to court. So it doesn't always go as predicted, I think, is a key takeaway for listeners there. But you might be told one thing, but just hold on and be okay that there's likely going to be lengthening in the timeline.
And you never know when you're going to be called. I know some friends of my daughter's, well, my daughter and son-in-law adopted a little boy, Jackson. And it was like, hurry up and wait. And then there he was. And they had a choice to make. And then some friends of hers just adopted two siblings that were from the same home. And they got the call at midnight saying, hey, we got these kids. Would you like to do this? And so they were out there and they picked up the kids and here they are. And it did take a process. I know for my daughter and her husband, it took 6 to 9 months to get the court stuff all worked mm-hmm. out where they were legally their own. How many children did you adopt and did you have any biological children as well?
I adopted two children and I have never had a biological child, which actually is an interesting fun fact for listeners. When I go and donate blood, because I've never had a biological child, I can donate blood that goes into the emergency rooms and hospitals across the country.
Well, how cool is that? So your children, you adopted them when they were preschoolers?
Yes.
And how old are they now?
They're in their teen years. My daughter is 14 and my son is 16.
Wow. That's great. So, Marcy, we need to take a break, but after the break, what kind of topics would you like to touch on that parents that might be potential adoptees or foster care parents could glean from? Can you give us a couple of them?
Yeah, I think a couple of topics. So there's very real fears in this space. I'd love to talk about what those are and really what the truth is behind those fears. And then also being able to think about, maybe as a listener, you're thinking, it's great to know about this. This isn't for me. And it might not be, but I'd love to be able to help listeners see who this might be for, because it's likely you know someone to share this information with.
We're talking with Marcy Barsek. We're going to be right back after this break and talking about Forgotten Adoption Option. And if you want to go to her website, it's forgottenadoptionoption.com. And you can go there and see about all the fun things that she's gone through in her life and helped others as well. So I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. We will be right back.
If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlick.com or email me at jredlickspeaks@gmail.com.
Marcy Barsek is my guest today. We're talking about adoption and so many things that people don't know about it. Marcy, let's talk about some of the fears that people might have in adopting children.
Yeah, and fears are real. I want to encourage listeners that I recognize that if you have a biological child, oftentimes, if and when you're pregnant, in the first trimester, from what I understand, you tell kind of a close circle of friends. And it's only during that season that those people know. And fears are similar. You might never have voiced this fear to anyone. Maybe your significant other, maybe not, but they're real. And it's okay to have them. So we talked earlier about one of the top ones, which is, oh, adoption is so expensive, I can't afford it. And we kind of debunked that with foster care adoption is a very affordable path to adopting children. Also, when you adopt through foster care, the state covers health insurance, oftentimes summer camps and other things that could be high expenses. So that's on top of kind of the piece of legally going through this process. But other fears that come up a lot, I coach families around the country, and things that come up are, I have my own childhood wounds. I don't think I can be a good parent, or I shouldn't even become a parent because I don't want to do what I saw. And that's really real. And I want to honor that space. I know for myself, when I was going through the process to get licensed to adopt through foster care, I recognized I had gone through my own childhood trauma that I'd never processed. I told my husband what had happened, but I never got therapy and professional help for it. And so this is real. If you're going to be parenting children, raising children that have been in the foster care system, you're going to be helping children who've experienced trauma of some kind, whether it's abuse, neglect, loss, things like that. And so being willing to go through your own healing journey is wonderful. And if you're not ready, that's okay. For me, I saw it as a way of, if I can do this for me, I could openly then have conversations with my kids about the importance of mental health, the importance of, this is the name of my therapist, and being able to make it a more open conversation. It wasn't shame in that way. So that one comes up a lot. Oftentimes people also wonder, can I love a child that is not biologically look like me, right? I don't know if I can do that. And that's a really real, honest fear. The fact of the matter is, for the majority of us in the United States especially, we tend to marry someone that's not in our family tree. And so that one quickly debunks that myth that, could I love someone I'm not biologically related to? Well, if you're in a relationship, you probably already do love someone that you're not biologically related to. And so it's really just about being honest about that. And then one other one that I'll mention is the fear of being emotionally connected. You sometimes people think, well, if you're adopting through foster care, it's possible that children could come into my home, I might form a connection with them, they're part of my life, and then because of foster care, they're going to go back to their biological family. And that is true for traditional fostering, absolutely. The whole point of foster care is to help children be able to return to their biological families. And that's where the term the forgotten adoption option came from, because becoming a foster parent is a separate path, and most people don't know that. Becoming a foster parent, you're saying, yes, I want to help a child temporarily, a sibling group temporarily, have a place to be while their biological family becomes stable. That's for people that want to become foster parents. If you want to adopt through foster care, you're specifically trying to become a parent, a forever family, an adoptive parent to children who need a forever family. And so you really eliminate the risk of, what if I'm attached and they return to their biological family, because you're with children who, from a legal perspective, are wards of the state until someone like you or me steps in and adopts them.
Wow, that is so interesting. Talking about the two paths really does make a difference, knowing that there are two paths. One is for fostering and one is for adopting.
I was going to add, there's a little bit of a caveat there, because this is very common. So you're ready to go. You call the licensing agency and you say, I'd like to adopt from foster care. And the first set of classes you have to take in any state is the same classes that a foster parent takes. You go through that class, and then there's usually a second certification. The term changes depending upon your state, but essentially it's like adoption classes. And what happens, it happened to me, it happens to, I would say, at least 50% of the families that I coach, is as soon as you have your license from all that process, you're going to be asked to foster. Even though, we just talked about it, right? Even though you said, I want to adopt. And so that's where you, having a lot of grace, but also having good boundaries, have to be able to say no. It happened to me literally the day after we got licensed. I got a call about two sisters who had just got put into foster care. They were 4 and 14, had a really terrible story to it. I felt so sad. I wanted to help. My husband's a teacher. I called him to ask if we could say yes. And it took a while, because he's a teacher and can't just talk on the phone at any point in time in the day. And I remember feeling like such a mean human being when his response was, we have to say no. And I thought, well, what do you mean? We're trying to help kids. And he really put things in a logical perspective and said, yeah, but if we say yes right now for children who permanently need a place to live, we don't have beds. We don't have bedrooms. We don't have any of this. And so you have to be aware of the boundary that while you're calling the social service agency to say, I'd like to take this path, you're going to have to remind them over and over and over and over and over that your intention is to adopt, not to foster. So it's not a straight line, but you can do it.
Wow, how interesting. All right, so we talked about some of the fears. We've talked about the difference between fostering and adopting, and even though you're registered in one and you really want to do the other, you have to really fight for what your parameters are and the best thing. Marcy Barsek is my guest, and she has written 4 books and founder of Forgotten Adoption Options. Marcy, we only have a few minutes left. What else would you like to talk about?
I would love to equip your listeners, because you might have been hearing this information and thinking, I did not know that, and this isn't for me. And so what I want to encourage you, if this isn't your next step, or even in your future, in your lifetime, you probably know someone to share it with. And the data shows us that oftentimes people that step in to become a forever family for children who have been in the foster care system are in what we call helper professions. So I want to give you kind of some jobs people might be doing, and you probably know someone. So please listen to this episode. Please tell them about the opportunity to become a forever family. So helper professions are people like social workers, therapists, faith leaders, medical professionals. They might be in public service, like a police officer, a firefighter, or they might be a teacher. I'm married to a teacher. So if you happen to know someone, which you probably do, in a helper profession, please connect them with this information, because you can be the one that's making the difference between siblings or an individual child lingering in the foster care system and one day being old enough to just be kind of out on the world on their own versus growing up in a stable, loving, forever family.
Wow. Marcy, how can people learn more? You have a website?
Yeah, I do. ForgottenAdoptionOption.com. There, I will guide you through wherever you are. You might be exploring which kind of path towards adoption do you want to take. You might be ready to adopt. You might want to join me as an advocate. Please join me there at ForgottenAdoptionOption.com.
Awesome. So it's a big deal to want to help children and stay in the process and persevere. How has the Lord helped you in all of the things He's guided you in, not only for your own family and the adoption, but also to help other families make the right choices?
Judy, it's going to be a challenge to answer this question without crying. So I'm going to try to make it playful so I don't go into tears. But the very first word that I can think of to summarize the past 10 plus years of my life in this space, Judy, is surrender. There was a moment where I mentioned that my children had moved in and we were told it was 4 months. And it was the 9-month mark. And remember, I had deliberately chosen adoption as a plan A. So I've never tried to have a biological child. So I chose this path. And at 9 months in, I knew of friends that were packing that bag to the hospital. And I was 9 months in. I tucked my kids into bed. And I remember just in a puddle of tears on my bathroom floor, just crying out to the Lord about why was this process taking so long? And this wasn't fair. I was hoping to be met with a Lord that was like, oh, daughter, it's going to be okay. And that was not what I feel like the Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit said, it's not about you. Mm. And I honestly, when I heard that, I was like, excuse me. And the voice repeated itself. It's not about you. And that has been the entire journey. I've learned that this is really about helping children who have had an unstable upbringing of any kind, of any length of time, helping them have stability. But at the same time, what I've learned in that journey, Judy, is that my role is to help teach other people that this is a path. And that's why it's called the Forgotten Adoption Option. I didn't know it was a path. And when that timeline stretched, it kept stretching for 9 months, 18, I saw the silver lining was, well, what I could do is I could teach other people what we were seeing. I could teach them not kind of the background of the stuff you don't need to know about why my kids were in foster care, but I could teach you their kids that tonight are going to bed in a group home or a foster home, and all they want is a forever family, and we need more of them. And so that is really what propelled me to start the organization. I had started a blog and then coaching families in my living room. After my kids would go to bed, it would take about 2 hours, and then the world shut down with the pandemic, and I couldn't have families over anymore. And so friends had moved out of state, taught me about this technology called Zoom that was new at the time, and said, you should teach our friends here in Michigan. And that's really what showed me that I could teach the entire country. That's why I have published books, is to not just have to have you in my living room, be local, but I can help share the information, because we need families in all states of all kinds to help all the children that are just lingering in care, wanting to be with the forever family.
I hope this has helped you think about the options. Feel free to contact Marcy. She's the executive director of the forgotten adoption option. And Marcy, you have a stay-at-home job, so you can raise your children and you can do some of these other things on the side.
Exactly. Yeah. By day, I work in tech and I lead a nonprofit as a volunteer. It's my passion project. I feel like it's my calling on earth to continue to advocate for children who are just like my own. They're just still waiting. And I'd like to see each of them have the same sort of future as my children were there in a stable, loving family.
Marcy holds master's degrees in philanthropy and business, various other accolades. She knows her stuff. Get a hold of her, Marcy Barsek. And Marcy, your website again?
ForgottenAdoptionOption.com.
ForgottenAdoptionOption.com. What a great, catchy title. Marcy, thank you for being available, families. Thank you for doing what you're doing to raise your wonderful children and you and your husband. And we pray that this show has meant something to you and you've gotten something out of it. If you can't take advantage of the adoption option processes, maybe you can share it again with friends. Marcy, again, your website?
ForgottenAdoptionOption.com.
This is Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich. Thanks so much for tuning in. See you next time.
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlich, informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at botradionetwork.com.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlich.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn. And if you want to learn how your business could be a sponsor on Judy Redlich's website, email her at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.